నిర్మమో నిరహంకారా సన్నిచ్ఛేషేషబంధన విసృజ్య తత్ర తత్ సర్వం దుకూల వలయాదికం నిర్మమో నిరహంకారా సంచిన్నాశేషబంధన విసిద్ర తత్ర తత్ సర్వం దుకూల వలయాదికం నిర్మమో నిరహంకారా సంచిన్నాశేషబంధన Matajis, we'll read word to word. Visrijya, relinquishing. Tatra, all those. Tat, that. Sarvam, everything. Dukula, belt. Valaya, adikam, and bangles. Nirmamaha, uninterested. Nirankara, unattached. Sanchinna, perfectly cut off. Ashesha, bandhanaha, unlimited attachment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj Yudhishthir at once relinquished all his garments, belt and ornaments of the royal order and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. Purport. To become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. No one can become an associate of the Lord or can go back to Godhead without such purification. Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore, to become spiritually pure at once gave up his royal opulence, relinquishing his royal dress and garments. The kashaya or saffron loincloth of a sannyasi indicates freedom from all attractive material garments, and thus he changed his dress accordingly. He became disinterested in his kingdom and family and thus became free from all material contamination or material designation. People are generally attached to various kinds of designations, the designations of family, society, country, occupation, wealth, position, and many others. As long as one is attached to such designations, he is considered materially impure. The so-called leaders of men in the modern age are attached by national consciousness, but they do not know that such false consciousness is also another designation of the materially conditioned soul. One has to relinquish such designations before one can become eligible to go back to Godhead. Foolish people adore such men who die in national consciousness. But here is an example of Maharaj Yudhishthira, A royal king who prepared himself to leave this world without such national consciousness. And yet he is remembered even today because he was a great pious king, almost on the level, same level with the personality of Godhead, Sri Rama. And because people of the world were dominated by such pious kings, they were happy in all respects. And it was quite possible for such great emperors to rule the world. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Miltam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Good. Hare Krishna, seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, praying unto their lotus feet so that I can speak something for my own purification and so that I can apply some of the things which I am presenting based on what I have heard from all the devotees. So this section describes, the chapter is, the Pandavas retire timely. So today we will be discussing this theme of the art of giving up, the art of letting go. And those who have learned this art of giving up or letting go, they are competent to live in this world and also leave this world and go back home, back to Godhead. And this is exactly what Yudhishthira Maharaj is demonstrating here. He lived his life as a perfect example of dharma, and then he is leaving now, back home, back to Godhead, in the most exemplary way. And materially speaking, in the life of the Pandavas, there was nothing called a steady state or stability. There was always upheavals and hardships. entire throughout their journey, as Bhishmadeva says, Yatra Dharma Suto Raja, Gada Prani Vrikodhara, Krishna Sri Gandivam Chapam, Suhurit Krishna, Tato Vipat. They had every possible strength on their side, but still failures did not leave their trail. They were always having reversals, materially speaking, in their life. But despite all of these failures or hardships in their lives, the Pandavas sailed seamlessly through all of this, and they are now sailing back to Godhead. Why? Because they had learned the art of giving up. They had learned the art of accepting the situation, adapting to the situation, and then advancing in whatever situation Krishna put them in. And one reflection on why the Pandavas, being such dear devotees of the Lord, had to go through so much hardships. Their journey was just from forest to kingdom Hastinapur, then Lakshagraha, back to forest, then back to, you know, Hastinapur, then Indraprastha, then back to forest, then back to kingdom. So it was such a, you know, so many ups and downs. Krishna took them around the world, basically, like, essentially. So much they had to endure. So I was reflecting, Krishna did not want their influence to just limit to a kingdom, or just being in the capital. Krishna wanted them to give association to everyone. So wherever we go in any holy place, and we would, you know, in most holy places you will find, okay, the Pandavas came here from Eka Chakra in, you know, near Mayapur Dham, or in Vrindavan you have Vimalkund where Durvasa Muni came with his 60,000 disciples in Vrindavan. So the Pandavas, Krishna wanted to accomplish much more through them than just ruling a kingdom. And that's why he did not want them to stagnate in one place. And you know, devotees who go overseas, say, for preaching to America or other places. So recently our Pavaneshwar Prabhu had gone and Vraj Bihari Prabhu had gone. So the tour was so jam-packed, like 30 cities in 40 days. Why? Because ticket itna mehenga bhara hai, toh the organizers want ki zyada se zyada, many people get the opportunity to hear. So similarly, Krishna had sent his eternal associates. So he wants to fully utilize the ticket. Their presence should give association to everyone. So, and that is not possible without being surrendered, without being agile. Just move to Krishna's tunes. Ki abhi idhar chalo to chalo. Abhi now move here. Okay, we'll go wherever Krishna wants. And those who are having the experience of serving great souls, they have this experience. Like Brajchandra Prabhu or serving Maharaj. So he doesn't have any fixed time of breakfast, lunch, dinner, nothing. Wherever Maharaj goes, he has to leave everything. Many years back, 10 years back, when I was in VTA, that time Gaurang Prabhu used to take some breakfast of some fruits. And he had told me to, you know, make the pomegranate fruits. So I got little delayed, and then I gave it to him. And by the time he started eating, Maharaj came, and he was supposed to go with Maharaj. So he left it there and then itself, and then he moved on. So moving as per the plans of great devotees, moving as per the plans of the Lord, requires one to have that agility to give up, let go, and move on. And this is what the Pandavas are showing here. And why is it that in this world there is so much of talk of letting go, giving up? Still we are not able to give up, but we always hear, "Arre, we need to give up, we need to let go." So why is there this need of giving up in this material world? The reason is because we have accepted a temporary reality And this reality is beyond our control. This temporary reality is subject to change constantly, and it is beyond our control. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, for that which is non-existent, there is no permanence. And for that which is eternal, there is no change. So, we have accepted a world which is temporary. So, by default, it is subject to change. And when something is subject to change, you cannot stay with it forever. If you don't give it up, it will give us up. Right? So, they say that in a flowing river, you cannot bathe in the same water twice. बहती नदी में आप एक ही पानी में दो बार स्नान नहीं कर सकते. And if you want to do that, you will have to become a corpse. You know, only a corpse will flow along in the same water, right? So that's the idea. The world is constantly changing. That's why it is called jagat. Jagat, that which is already gone before it comes to being, constantly moving. So in this constantly moving world, if we are obsessed with holding on to things, then we are going to suffer by our own accord. Prabhupada was once asked by a reporter that you are the guru of the Hare Krishna movement, so you seem to know everything. So do you know everything? So he asked Prabhupada this question: if you know everything, tell me, how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? Prabhupada immediately quipped. He said, as many drops are there in a mirage, as many windows in the Empire State Building. So how many drops are there in the mirage? Who can count? It's practically non-existent. So similarly, this world is jagat, constantly moving, changing. If we consider that as reality, we are subject to so much of tribulation. And by the way, there are 6,514 drops in that mirage, in the Empire State Building. There are 6,514 windows in the Empire State Building. If someone asks you general knowledge, you can tell that also. And recently, a few years back, all the windows were refurbished in that building, and it took them 8 months to change all the windows, and that too at a cost of $700 per window. So that's the changing world. Even that mirage, the drop is also changing. So now, having seen that this definitely the world is changing, constantly changing, so we want to know what changes. What is exactly that changes? First of all, we are at the, you know, eve, near to the eve of the new year. So the date changes, the year will change. That's something going to change. Our bodies are definitely going to change. Krishna says, Dehi nosman yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhiras tatranam uyati. Don't get bewildered. This is a fact of life. The body is going to change. They say at the age of one, success is about getting to stand without taking support. If a child can stand or walk without support, that is success. At the age of four, success is that the child doesn't urinate in his or her pants. So definition of success changes. Now the child is able to walk. But now the parents are looking forward, when will the child stop urinating in the pants? When it will grow up. Then at the age of 8, if the child can come back home without anyone's help, he can know the home, way back home, that is success at the age of 8. At the age of 12, to make friends and social circle, that is success. Now they want to have their own social circle. You know, I'm independent. So that is a success. At the age of 18, having a driving license is success. Then at the age of 25, finishing one's education and getting a career and a job, that is success. And now at the age of 50, to remain competent in the career and to remain employable, still, that is success. To compete with the new people who are coming. Then at the age of 60, the full circle, you know, to retain your driving license, that is success. Then at the age of 65, to still have friends and social circle, because now for the society, not a contributor, so then, you know, people may not care. So to still have a social circle, that's a success. At the age of 70, to know one's way back home without help, that is success. At the age of 75, urine incontinence, or to not, you know, involuntarily urinate, that is success. And at the age of 80, to be able to walk or stand without support, that is success. So if we are stuck to this idea that things will remain the same, they are not going to remain the same. That's the nature of the world. So the body changes, the people around us change. In childhood, you have school friends, then college friends, then office colleagues, constantly changing. We are not in touch with the same people, right, who were part of our life before. And Radha Swami Maharaj was telling in one Janmashtami class recently, he was saying that in this world, the people we are with, they may leave us, or if not they, then we may leave them, or if not, then time will take either of us away. So even the relationships cannot be permanent. The people may leave us, we may leave them, or time will, you know, separate. Then the places also change. Mumbai, a century back, most of it was a dense tropical forest. Dense tropical forest, like what this Borivali National Park, that was the whole of Mumbai. And now it is a concrete jungle. Places change. Now it is the seventh most polluted city in the world, and the eighth most populated city in the world, and the financial capital of India. But look at the city of Hampi, the village of Hampi. Or Hampi was at one, in the 16th century, it was the second richest and the biggest city in the world. And it was the center of all trade in India. And now it is just ruins. So the people in Hampi never thought that this is going to ever end. We are going to be the richest and most powerful, but it didn't remain so. So we are also living in Mumbai thinking that this is going to continue forever. But yes, places do change. What about the society? Society also changes. Previously, there were entire village was one family. You would know each and everyone in the village. Then came the age of joint families. Then came the age of nuclear families, and now is the age of nuclear fission families. Those nuclear families are also breaking apart. So times are changing fast. Then what about business and markets? Yes, Ruji. So markets, in the year 2000, every year they make a list of Fortune 500 companies. So they made the list in year 2000, and right now 50% of those companies do not even exist. What to speak of being in Fortune 500? They are extinct. And it is said that in the next 10 years, it took 20 years then. Now in the next 10 years only, current Fortune 500, 250 of them will become extinct. So that's how is the, drops of the mirage, of the, you know, water of the mirage. So many things changing, technology is changing, governments are changing, environment is changing, climate change, COVID, and this change is not in our control. And even if nothing else changes, we ourselves change. Our health changes, our opinions change. We are so stuck and firm on a certain opinions, but then over a period of time, those opinions are changed. Amidst all of this change, if we stay in inertia and continue to hang on and latch on to the old past, of the bygone past, and don't move on, what happens? When we refuse to change along with the changing times, what happens? We become dysfunctional. If we want to walk, we need to let go of the previous rear foot, right? And then we can walk ahead, right? Radha Gopinath Prabhu tells this example of an audio tape which is stuck. Again and again it repeats the same line, same line, same line. No one wants to hear such a tape, right? So if you are stuck in the past, right, we become dysfunctional. Just like reflecting on our daily life also, even to get good sleep, do we need to let go? You have been very active, very busy, very successful throughout the day. But even in the night, if you hang on to that, I did this, I said this, I was successful, I will do this tomorrow. If you are in that planning and doing mode only, we won't get good sleep. Then you have to pop in sleeping pills. Right? So even to sleep, we need to let go. Come on, you were successful, but now, okay, now it's time for something else. And Bhagavatam says that, 11th canto Uddhav Gita, once it tells a story of a hawk, an eagle. So this eagle got some piece of meat and it was flying happily. And then suddenly it was attacked by a group of many eagles, bigger eagles, who wanted the same piece of meat. And this eagle, this hawk was so attached. I want to eat it, enjoy it by my own. I got it by my effort. I cannot give this up. But these other hawks, they were desperate. They were desperate to kill this eagle also. And then this eagle finally realized, if I have to save my life, I have to give up, let go. So when this hawk let go of that piece of meat, it felt relieved, happy and liberated. Right, so that many times be necessary to let go of the competition. Why I need to compete for a petty, you know, piece of flesh for the hog, but for us it could be something else. Then, as age changes, but if we stick, you know, latch on to our position, what happens? Dhritarashtra's position was described, that how Vidura had to really speak strong language to really get him off his comfort zone. And Prabhupada speaks in these purports about politicians staying glued to their posts till the end of their lives. And these days even actors of the age of 50, 60, they keep acting as, you know, college students of the age 20. Come on, it's height of self-deception. Deceiving, and those who are watching this, they are also deceiving themselves. Probably, why? Because people at that age, even they fantasize that, okay, I could also be like this. I could also, you know, enjoy like this actor at the age of 50. So, Bhagavatam tells about Yayati. Yayati, he became old and he was so shameless, he exchanged his, you know, old age with his son, Puru, to continue to enjoy. And that definitely is not a great example for a father, right? So letting go is so important. Then in terms of relationships, people who were so close to us at one point of time emotionally, they may not continue to remain close at all. And if we have this hangover, then people often have this hangover and bitterness. Why is it that they are not reciprocating? I did so much for them. Why is it that they are being so rude? Right? And such, you know, hangover, what it causes? It causes one to stagnate in life. Or, for example of Sati, she was the dearmost daughter of Daksha. She had such thick relationship with Daksha. But then things so happened, transpired, that their relationship developed distance. But then she wanted somehow or the other, to somehow or other get the good old days. But what happened? She had to burn herself in her endeavor of trying to get the past back. Right? And that's about Sati. And then about Daksha. If parents, they expect the same amount of influence in the lives of their children after they grow up or after they get married, then both suffer, the parent and the child. That's the case of Daksha. Now, Sati has got married. She has, she's serving Lord Shiva, but he wants his influence to continue. He wants himself to be subjugating. So what happens? Both suffer. Sati also suffers and Daksha also suffers. Roles change, relationships change, our roles change. A young boy or a girl, their notion of their beauty is in their looks and their build, how they look. But when they become parents, their notion of beauty becomes the tenderness of their child. For a mother, her notion, her yardstick, her benchmark of beauty is the tenderness, sweetness of her child. For her, this is beauty. She is no longer obsessed with how she looks. Yes, it is important to be fit. Yes, it is important to be, healthy and fit. But then being obsessed with one's own beauty for the rest, entire life, to be obsessed that I look young, I look attractive, then it fuels up the cosmetic industry, which is basically deceiving us to deny reality and not allowing us to do our current role or function. Recently, an actress died because of fat removal surgery. A young girl, doctors, doing MBBS, committed suicide because of hair loss. Right? Because the cosmetic, they did some cosmetic thing to get her more hair, the hair started falling off. So this is what the deception of cosmetic industry is. And for a father, as the children are growing up, the father's notion of achievement and success is that his children become competent to take up the business. But if the father thinks that, no, I should be in command and they should do as I consider is the best way, then there is suffocation. So at this stage, the success is about creating succession and not subjugation. Else, the parents will become competitors, as was the case with Kaikeyi. She saw Ram's ascent to the throne as a competition to her influence in the kingdom. Of course, it was Mantra who, changed her mind, but that was what has happened, that she saw Ram as a competitor and became insecure and saw him as a threat to her position. So roles change, and accordingly, as the roles change, we need to adapt and change according to those roles. Generations change, and leaders need to acknowledge this change and give space to the new generation. Leadership is not about creating laws and loyalists who follow those laws. Leadership is about creating a legacy and passing on that legacy to the next generation. So, and Lord Krishna did this in every case. Jarasandh was killed, but then Lord Ram installed Sahadev, his son. He didn't take over. He passed on it to the next generation. Right? So we see here that it is so essential for us to change with the changing times and adapt and let go and move on. Like the hawk, or so many examples we discuss, as the age, roles, relationships change, we need to change. And speaking about us as devotees, do we have this need to let go and move on? Do we have this need to give up, the way Yudhishthira Maharaj is exemplifying here? We have two hands, Prabhupada would say. you have two hands. If Krishna wants to take away from you, how much can you stop? Right? From his 10 hands. If Krishna wants to take away, we cannot stop. And we have these two hands to receive Krishna also. But if we are holding on to Maya, we cannot receive Krishna. Right? We have one mind. If the mind is filled with Maya, we cannot receive Krishna while chanting. Right? So as devotees, we also need to let go. Let go of Maya to receive Krishna. Let go of the baggage to travel light. Once a traveler was going around in the Himalayas and he came across a hermitage. An ascetic was sitting there doing his meditation. And then he asked this ascetic, Swamiji, I see here, you stay here? Do you stay here? Yes. So, it seems you have very little possessions. You just have a water pot, a pair of clothes, and that's it. A bowl, that's it. So he said, the saint said, I look at you, where are you coming from? You are coming from abroad, okay. So what have you brought? So I have this backpack and this is how I am traveling. So the ascetic said, and so am I. I am a traveler, so you are. Now you are a traveler, you are going into the Himalayas and here and there. And you know how important it is to have the bare minimum baggage so that it doesn't become a burden. Similarly, I am also a traveler. We all are travelers in this world, you know, with the ultimate destination of reaching back to Godhead. So that's how important it is to travel light without the excess baggage of expectations. And without the prejudices, baggage of prejudices. And as devotees also, we may get used to or attached to a particular type of service or our particular plans or our opinions or the association we are in, all the respect from the society that we get, all the facilities that we get. So we are also prone to getting used to it. It's natural. We get accustomed to what is a routine for us. So we may get accustomed and used to the facilities and the services and the people around, but when the higher call comes, even a devotee needs to withdraw and let go and move on. When that call of destiny comes, one needs to give up the facilities and respect. Vidura, when the call of destiny came, how he reconciled? Sa ittham atiul banakarna bane bhratu puro marma sutaditopi. Swayam dhanudvari nidhaya mayam gatavyatho yad urumanayana. Nidhaya mayam. He understood it is an action of the external potency and the internal potency. So he saw that the internal potency is creating opportunity for me to do pilgrimage and not get entangled in this entire war of Kurukshetra. So he took that situation by his stride and left and moved on. He gave up all the facilities and respect that he was receiving in Hastinapur and moved on. So the call of destiny, when it comes, one has to give up the facilities and respect. The call of duty, when it comes, one may have to give up the association also. In the case of Gadadhar Pandit, he was from his childhood always accompanying Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, they were childhood friends. And Shachi Mata had given her instruction, you always be around Nimai to protect him in his ecstasies. Because when he jumps in Kirtan, when he falls down, you only can take care of him. So that association was a service for him. But then when the call of duty comes, he had to give up that association. Lord Chaitanya, when he was going to Vrindavan, Gadadhar Pandit also wanted to come. But then Lord Chaitanya said, you have taken seva pratigya. You have taken a pratigya of kshetra sannyas and service to Gopinath. So how can you give up your service to Tota Gopinath and leave from here? So Gadadhar Pandit had to actually follow Lord Chaitanya. And even Nityanand Prabhu, he was coming every year to Jagannath Puri to be with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told him, now you preach in Bengal only. So even when call of duty comes, even association may change. The principle of association will remain, but the actual association, the people may change. And when the call of authority or the call of high command comes, one may even have to change the service. Priyavrat Maharaj, he was serving in the hermitage of Narad Muni as a brahmachari. But when Swayambhu Manu and Brahmaji came and told him that your service now with Uttanpad's leaving and Daksha going to austerity is that you need to take up the kingdom. So his service changed and he accepted that change and moved on. And call of purpose, when the call of purpose comes, we may have to give up our plans and the systems that we may create. When the call of purpose comes, for example, for Prithu Maharaj, he had his plan of establishing religious principles by carrying out the 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. But then, when Indra was creating disturbances, when he was creating apasampradayas by, you know, stealing the horse in the guise of false sannyasis, Brahmaji came and told Prithu Maharaj, pause. What is the purpose of your appearance? The purpose of your appearance is to establish dharma. And what is your activity right now doing is creating irreligion. Because Indra is coming up, taking the guise of these false sannyasis, and many apasampradayas are going to crop up. So you need to now let go of the 100 sacrifice for the higher purpose for which you have appeared. And similarly, when the call of purpose or cooperation comes, then we may have to change our opinions and adjust. So for example, Garuda, he did the humongous service of bringing the Mandar Parvat for churning the milk ocean. But then as soon as he came, all the demons and demigods together could not accomplish this task of bringing up the Mandar Parvat. They were crushed to death. But Garuda did this very, very prestigious service. But then as soon as he brought the Mandar Parvat at the milk ocean, Lord looked at him and he told him, now it's time for you to leave. Why? Because now Vasuki has to come. So Garuda may have had his opinions about Vasuki, a serpent. What this serpent can do any service. He's a poisonous, envious being. But then Lord had his plan. So he gave up his opinions. And he made space for this other devotee, Vasuki, to do his service. So we may also have opinions about some devotee that, oh, this devotee is not good enough, this devotee has these faults. But with all our faults, if Lord is engaging us, then with all their faults, Lord has plans for them to be engaged. And then finally, when the call of Kaal, the call of time factor comes, then everything has to be relinquished. Parikshit Maharaj, the Bhagavatam describes, Atmajaya sutagara pashu dravina bandhushu rajyecha vikale nityam virudham mamatam jaho. Parikshit Maharaj had all the opulences, all the best of devotees around him, but then he had to leave all the facilities, all the kingdom when the call of Kaal came. And similarly, Khatwang Maharaj, Khatwang nama rajarshi gyatve yatha iha ayusha muhurtat sarvam utsrijya gatavan abhayam hari. Muhurtat, when he came to know, I have just one moment to leave. I am the commander in chief of the army of the devatas. I have helped them, but now I only have one moment. I cannot bask in my old glory of being the commander-in-chief of how much service I have done. No, right now, that service I need to let go of that. That is the past. Right now, I need to remember Krishna. So, when the call of Kala or time factor comes, letting go. And when the call of Krishna comes, the gopis, they leave everything and they run for Krishna. So as devotees also, we see that it is important for us to imbibe this quality of being fluid, being, you know, letting go, giving up and moving on. And be ready for the next adventure Krishna is offering us. That was the gopis. That's how agile they were to respond to Krishna's call. And that's how agile the Pandavas were. So now, having understood that we need to let go, let's now discuss what does it mean to give up or let go. Just giving up means to give up everything and, you know, just renounce and give up responsibilities and do nirjan bhajan. Is it what our parampara is telling us to do? Actually, Arjuna wanted to do that. He asked Krishna in the third chapter, Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhe janardana tatkim karmani ghore mam niyojasi keshava. Why are you engaging me in this ghastly ugra karma? Karmani ghore mam. When actually higher than karma is to do buddhi yoga, is to have renunciation. So Krishna clarified the understanding of renunciation. What is renunciation? Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yah. That renunciation is not about giving up action. Renunciation is about giving up the fruits of action or the expectation of the fruits of that action. Sa sanyasi cha yogi sa cha na niragni na cha akriya. A sanyasi or a yogi is one who gives up this expectation of fruits, not the action itself. So one aspect of renunciation is definitely giving up the desirable objects and desirable enjoyments of this world. But the unchanging and universal aspect of renunciation is to give up the attachment or expectation from the objects and people of this world, and even that expectation from ourselves, materially speaking, right? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj here has taken up, accepted the kashaya of saffron cloth, and he is internally devoid of ahankar and mamakara. That's what the verse is telling. Now, in the case of Pingala, she did not accept kashaya. Pingala, the prostitute in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. So, she did not accept the kashaya cloth, but she gave up the expectation of hope from material enjoyment. Avanti Brahmana, he gave up the expectation or hope of material enjoyment, but he also gave up, but he took kashaya. He took the dress of a sannyasi. Pingala says, Santam samipe ramanam rati pradam vitta pradam nityam imham vihaya. Akamadam bukha bhayadi krodham bhayadi shoka moha pradam tucham aham bhajegya. So Pingala gave up the expectation of happiness and enjoyment from material things. She invested her hope and faith in Krishna. Krishna is santam shamipe. He is my closest friend and the best friend. And he is the one who can give me pleasure. He is the one who can give me satisfaction and fulfillment. So turning away from Maya to Krishna is real renunciation. That is our sampradaya. In our sampradaya, renunciation is not a destination that now, okay, like in the Mayavadis, they have this, okay, now you have taken sannyas, now you have become Narayan. So you have become liberated. In our sampradaya, renunciation is not a destination to be achieved. It is a dynamic journey of anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. To accept whatever is favorable for serving Krishna right now and to reject whatever is unfavorable for serving Krishna. Something may have been favorable in the past, but not in the present. So giving the favorable thing of the past to accept the new favorable thing of the present. So that dynamic journey is the journey of bhakti. And giving up as taught in our sampradaya is not applying brakes or, you know, turning off the ignition or turning off the engine. Giving up is not, you know, putting the engine to a halt. Giving it up is about, you know, holding the clutch and changing gears. So now in the new territory, new landscape or the new road, if it is uphill, I have to change gear. If I have to go uphill, I cannot go in the fourth gear. I have to come down to second gear to go uphill. Now if I am going downhill, I have to change gear again. So giving up is about, you know, holding the clutch and changing gear. And now the last part is that how do we actually give up? How do we let go? Having understood it is important for anyone in this world, given the nature of this world of constant change, and as devotees, we also need to change and adapt to the changing situation to be able to serve Krishna in a dynamic way. But how do we go about giving up and letting go? So, I'll discuss a few principles. The first is service attitude. Being like a lotus. The lotus has this character that it is in the mud, but not of the mud. Pankaja. It is born from dirt and mud, but it does not belong there. It belongs at the lotus feet of the Lord. So similarly, a devotee has that, nature of being a lotus, being in the world but not of the world. Like the devotee is holding positions, holding responsibilities and everything, but he or she has a thin coat of service attitude. That service attitude, the lotus, leaf, the water doesn't stick to it because it has that thin layer. So similarly, a devotee has whatever service or designation one holds on to. Usme, it's like has the characteristic of the lotus. Abhi Krishna ne seva diya hai, iske liye position liya hai. As soon as Krishna tells seva, service change, position is given up without, effortlessly. So that's the nature of a devotee. Whereas for a non-devotee, enjoyment is the glue. Fruitive desire is the glue because of which one holds on to the position or to the entitlement. Because one connects to that position with the mentality of enjoyment, one gets glued to that position or entitlement. But a devotee connects to that service with that thin film of a lotus, with the service attitude. Now, the service changes, the position also changes. I'll go to the next service. And Hanumanji showed this. He was the hero of Ramayana. But in Mahabharata, he was happy to be the cheerleader, to be on the flag and just, encourage the Pandavas. Right? And he learned it from Jambavan. Jambavan was the one who did circumambulate Vamandev 21 times. He circumambulated the entire universe 21 times in one jump. So someone who could circumambulate the entire universe 21 times in one jump could not now cross the ocean. And then he actually was the one who inspired Hanuman that you can do it. So Hanuman took it in parampara and passed it on to Arjuna. Arjuna, you can do it. So that is that service attitude, that position may change, times may change, but service continues. Hanumanji was happy to, when entire war was won and everyone came to Ayodhya, there was a list of service and service in charge did all the allocations. Hanumanji didn't have any service. So Hanumanji said, okay, if I don't have service, how can I stay alive? So then he said, there is one service which is not there in the list. When Lord Ram, he yawns, then who is the one who is go and, chutki kaun bajayega? And by this, I will always be next to Lord Ram. Because this service, you never know when Lord Ram is going to yawn. Right? So, that intelligence Krishna gives to someone who is having service attitude. So, looking for, not for position, but for service attitude is the key to let go and adapt. Next is gratitude. When we are aware of who is the owner and possessor, proprietor of everything, who is the suhrid, who is the owner of everyone, then we don't possess people, we don't possess things, we don't possess, any positions. We know it is not mine, it has been given to me by Krishna, and Krishna is taking it away. Prabhupada, when his entire business was burglarized, he just thought, yasyaham anugranami harishye tad dhanam shane. It was given by Hari, it is taken away by Hari. I am happy. Now what is the next adventure, Krishna, you want me to do? Jaladuta. Going, writing Bhagavatam and spreading the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when the cognizance is there that Krishna has given and Krishna is taking, When that gratitude is there, then there is seamless, letting go. In the case of Arjuna, Tadvai dhanushta ishava saratho hayase soham rathi ripatayo yatamananti sarvam shanen yadabhut asadisha riktam bhasmam hutam kuhakaradham ivoptamushyan. Arjuna says that I am the same Arjun. This is the same chariot. This is the same Gandiva bow I used to boast about. These are the same horses. Everything is same, but now I have become infidel. Such an infidel that I cannot defeat these cowherd men. Why? Because Krishna's empowerment is not there. So move on. So we see when there is cognizance of who is, where is the power coming from, where is the powerhouse, then there is seamlessly Arjuna was able to go through this difficulty, right? So that is the second thing, gratitude. Third thing is association, which means being open to seek help from devotees and being open to accept their advice. So in case of Dhruva Maharaj, his first crisis was when he was rejected by Uttanapad, and Suruchi harshly spoke to him. So that time he took shelter of Suniti and got his path, and then he got the advice of Narad Muni, so association of devotees. And later when he was avenging the killing of his brother Uttama, and when he was actually overdoing the punishment of the Yakshas, Swayambhu Manu came and he told him that this unnecessary violence doesn't become of you. Yes, your brother was killed, so it was done by one Yaksha. Why are you now committing this violence of sinful reactions you will get by killing all of these Yakshas unnecessarily? He was open to take the advice. So association, being open to seek help and follow the advice of Vaishnavas. And then finally, and the next is personal introspection, knowledge and introspection. Bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityasha. Seeing in our own lives, reading in our own lives what experience that we have had, what is it that Krishna is teaching us? What is it that the Bhagavatam is teaching and it is applying in my own life? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Shravanam is hearing, mananam is reflecting on what I have heard and how do I apply it in my life. So that introspection can help us actually, cut the bonds of attachment to the sword of knowledge, sword of remembrance. Yad anudhyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhana. And this introspection is also very important, because many times we may not be told by seniors and devotees that, Prabhu, you need to give this up. They want us to voluntarily choose Krishna and grow. As in the case in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime is very much evident, his dealings with the Goswamis. When Sanatana Goswami had this, he had given up everything, his post of prime minister, all of his opulences, everything, to surrender to Mahaprabhu. But he was wearing one shawl, a beautiful embroidered shawl. And Mahaprabhu didn't tell anything. He just looked at that shawl. And Sanatana Goswami understood that as a renunciant, it is not good for me. And on his own, he gave that shawl up. Similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he came to Puri, Mahaprabhu organized that Govinda will serve him Mahaprasad every day, Lord Chaitanya's revenants every day. So 5 days he took Lord Chaitanya's revenants, Mahaprasad of Jagannath. But after 5 days, he thought, Mahaprabhu has taught me, bhalo na khaibe, bhalo na paribe ar. So probably this doesn't match Jagannath's opulent Mahaprasad for me. So then what he did, he started standing at the Simhadwara door to receive Mahaprasad in charity from anyone who was coming. And Mahaprabhu, when he came to know that why he is not coming for Prasad now, he has gone to Simhadwara. That's a renunciant. Then next time, on his own, he stopped going to Simhadwara and he started begging at taking from a free booth where Prasad was distributed, leftover Prasad was distributed. And then Mahaprabhu, when he came to know, he said, this is good. Why? Because when he was standing at a Simhadwar door, that is like a prostitute. Okay, this person is going to give me today. This person gave me yesterday, so she should give me today also. So, now Mahaprabhu did not tell him explicitly. He was happy actually when he started standing at a Simhadwar, but he wanted Raghunath Das Goswami to grow more in his renunciation and his bhakti. And now when finally Raghunath Das Goswami even left that begging at the public booths, he started taking the remnants which even the Telanga cows had left and washed them and eat. That attracted the love and, you know, complete love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came and he started, you know, taking up those, you know, washed grains which were left over of the cows, which Raghunath Das Goswami was eating, which and pleased Mahaprabhu so much. So we may have to introspect on our own. No one will come and tell us, ki Prabhu, you need to give this up. You are too attached here, there. But we need to introspect what we have heard. As Raghunath Das Goswami heard, Bhaluna Kahibe, Bhaluna Paribe are. And he personally, voluntarily chose his, increase his level of surrender more and more. And finally, the most important thing is absorption. So we have discussed service attitude, the quote of service attitude, gratitude. Then we discussed about introspection and association. And finally, absorption. In our sampradaya, detachment is about alternative attachment. Vishaya vinivartante nihara niraharasya dehinam. Getting the higher taste. Bhakti is not about giving up possessions, but about possessing Krishna. And when we possess Krishna, we automatically release Maya. So, just one small incident of Abhimanyu. He learned the art of entering the Chakravyuh, but he did not know the art of coming out of the Chakravyuh. What was the reason? When he was in the womb, Arjuna was describing the art of Chakravyuh Bhedan to Subhadra. And Subhadra was hearing this art, but when Arjuna started describing about how to come out of the Chakravyuh, she went to sleep. So she had heard how to enter, and so the child Abhimanyu had understood how to enter a Chakravyuh, but he did not hear how to come out of the Chakravyuh. So as a sadhaka, as a devotee also, we may know how to enter the Chakravyuh of designations and services, but then how to come out of those designations too and become freed of those possessions and possessiveness. Yes, service ke liye there may be possessions and possessions, facilities given. So entering the Chakravyuh, we may know. But then using those facilities for serving Krishna, we may know. But then when time comes to give them up, that we can only do if we have heard Krishna Katha attentively. As is shown in this example. So we need to give resignation from the designation. Then we can break this Chakravyuh. And every day morning, we need to, you know, come out of that Chakravyuh. Throughout the day, we may have done wonderful services for Krishna, for pleasing Krishna. But then in the morning time, when it is time for sadhana, for our chanting, that time, we need to also come out of the Chakravyuh and spend exclusive time with Krishna. And finally, I'll just share this from the Damodar Leela also. That's how Mother Yashoda is also showing this. Damodar Leela describes that Yashoda Maya was churning the butter. She was doing an indirect service for Krishna. Generally, this service was done by Graha Dasishu. The Graha Dasis used to do this service of churning, whereas Yashoda Maya would personally dress Krishna, braid Krishna, feed Krishna from her own hands. But today she was doing an indirect service to please Krishna. So throughout our day, we may be doing a lot of indirect services in our jobs, in our studies as students, or as even as a brahmachari, we may be doing many services which may not have direct deity worship or direct connection to Krishna. But then Krishna is pleased when we do those indirect services with the desire for pleasing Krishna. And what happens? Krishna became pleased with Yashoda Maya's indirect service and he ran up, came close personally to Yashoda to drink her milk. Generally, every day Yashoda Maya would have to wake up Krishna. This day, Krishna was so attracted, he came up personally to experience the love of Yashoda. And it describes, Shukdev Goswami says, Tan sanyakam asadhya mathanantim jananim hari grihitva dadhimanthanam nyashedha pritimavahan. That Krishna became so attached, so attracted to the love of Yashoda, he came and he wanted to get the breast milk of Krishna, of Yashoda. So he held on to the mathani, the churning rod. And that was a perfect way to stop the entire churning. And what he wanted to do, he wanted that she takes him on his lap and feeds him personally. So we may be doing a lot of churning throughout the day. Manthan has two meanings. One is manthan of the churning rod. Another manthan is manthan of the mind. So we may be doing a lot of planning throughout the day of how to serve Krishna. This is the most strategic way to serve. This is the most strategic way to preach. But then Krishna is showing that when it is time for sadhana, stop your churning. Stop the churning of your mind. And your planning should stop. And now I want to see, I want to experience the love of your heart privately, personally. So now tell me how much love you have. So he wanted to experience the love of Yashoda, and he wants to us to also have a personal, private time with him, expressing our love for him. That's the chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we say, Krishna Arpanam Astu. Idam to Krishna, Idam na Mama. So this belongs to Krishna, this doesn't belong to me. So with this becomes the mantra of our life. In everything that this belongs to Krishna, this does not belong to me, and I offer it to Krishna. That's what we do in Aarti. We give all the elements to Krishna. So similarly in our life, if we imbibe this consciousness that everything belongs to Krishna, let me just offer everything to Krishna, we can very seamlessly let go and move on to the next adventure which Krishna has planned for us. So, Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Gansraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So although I was speaking about letting go, but I didn't let go at the right time. So please, I hope you will let go of any, you know. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram, Hare Krishna.